Welcome to The Leader's Edge, where we celebrate leadership and shine a light on the visionary leaders shaping the future. I'm H.R. Huntsman, founder of The Leader's Edge, creator of The Leader's Edge Performance Engine and Leader's Edge University. I am thrilled to bring you stories from leaders who are making a difference around the world. In each episode, we champion the innovative strategies, courageous decisions, and inspiring journeys of those who lead with purpose and passion. So whether you're looking to refine your leadership skills or you simply want to be inspired, my friend, you are in the right place. All right. What happens when success turns into stagnation and you don't even realize it? Today's guest knows that story firsthand. Chris Robinson is the Executive Vice President of Maxwell Leadership and author of the transformational new book, From Drift to Drive. But he's not just teaching leadership, he is living it, having gone from employee to entrepreneur to executive on a global stage. Chris went from drunken DUIs and a life heading nowhere to now being a leadership model of life change for millions around the world. Chris leads the worldwide expansion of one of the most influential coaching communities on the planet. But what makes his voice so compelling isn't just his title, it's his journey. He knows what it's like to look successful on paper but feel stuck in purpose. And he's made it his mission to awaken 1 million high achievers who are quietly drifting and help them drive again with clarity, conviction, and deep personal impact. Chris brings grit, faith, and a radical sense of responsibility to everything he does. So get ready for a conversation that challenges your comfort, sharpens your vision, and redefines what success really means. Please enjoy my conversation with author and world-changing leader, Chris Robinson. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show today, The Leader's Edge. I really appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you so much for having me here today. Excited to be here with you and truly enjoyed just getting to know you a little bit before the show about your heart and your passion for leadership and helping people grow. Man, we are right in line with helping people.
Yeah, we sure are. I appreciate that. So let me jump right into it. What is success-induced complacency? I've seen that in your writings. So tell me what that is.
I really want people to take a look at the word complacency from a different view or vantage point. Whenever we hear the word complacency, it's often thought of as apathy or laziness. And what I've found in my research and my study of this word is that it couldn't be further from the truth. And so when we think about success-induced complacency, we go back to the Japanese term. The Japanese have a term for it called sensu. Now, sensu means victory disease. And what this is, it's a inducement of satisfaction once you have obtain something, and then you don't go back and really work on it the way like you did before. So the way that I redefine complacency inside the book is called a secret place of satisfactory success. A secret place of satisfactory success. So if you think about all the different areas of your life, and it could be your marriage, it could be your career, it could be your relationship with your children. We all have those areas where we worked really hard in the very beginning. And then once we got it to a place where we can manage it, maintain it, it goes into autopilot, and we think that we've got it down. But what ends up happening is there's a slow drift away from the skill being developed, the relationship growing stronger, getting better at whatever skill that you want. And this topic has become of great interest to me. And I just really wanted to help high achievers with going, okay, what I've done is good, but there's a gap between my potential and my good, and that gap is great.
Okay, very good. I just made a note to myself as you were talking, sensu, victory disease. Gosh, I like that a lot. Now, you've said there's a defining moment in your life, Chris, where you found yourself drifting. What did that look like, and how did you know, I can't stay here, I have this victory disease? What did it actually look like? And how did you know I can't stay stuck here?
Now I'm seeing it more and more ever because, again, we become aware of what we're studying. We become aware of what we're really focusing on. So I see it in so many different areas of my life. Where I really seen it activate was in the process of actually writing this book. When I was getting ready, we were working on the framework. I was evaluating the time that I had just had with John Maxwell in Cambodia. And it was an event that we went all the way to the other side of the planet to go speak. It's only two people on the agenda. It's me and John Maxwell. It's an honor. Now, before that, we go and we meet with the president of Cambodia, and I'm on a high. I'm just going, man, I met with the president of Cambodia today, getting ready to speak to 2,500 people, and it's going to be a great day. I go and I deliver. All right. And I get off the stage. Things were going wrong on the stage, but I'm a pro, no big deal. The remote doesn't work. The interpreter is a little choppy. The slides come up with the Khmer language and the English language on it. So that's a mess. But I navigate through all that stuff and I
Oh my
manage.
gosh.
You've been there
I've
before. You
been
know
there. No, I know exactly what all those feel.
what
Working through a translator and
I'm
interpreter is a
saying.
tough deal. So I'm feeling you, man.
So everything goes wrong, but it's okay. I've been here before. I know how to navigate this stuff. I
No
get
doubt.
through it, and there's a long line of people waiting to me to give me affirmation, tell me how great it was. And then I go sit down at dinner with John Maxwell and say, "Hey, John, hey, give me a little bit of feedback today on how I did out there." And of course, he obliged and he gave me about a page full of notes about 10 different things. And what made it worse, this is what made it worse, that there was five other people at the table and they thought it was a brainstorming session. So they just jump in, they
Oh
start
my
giving
God.
feedback.
You went from here to here, man.
Just that, from hero to zero, just like that. And but when I look back, when I began to go back to the notes that night, there was nothing on the page that was not true or anything that I did not know. But what I can tell you is that because of all the presentations I've done over the years, all the ability to be able to navigate past the average ear, I didn't prepare for that presentation like I did many years ago.
I see.
And what that did was that lit a fire. Here's something that I'm gifted at. Here's something that I'm called to do. Here's something that I'm held in high regard as a communicator. And I wasn't sharpening the axe the way that I'm supposed to be as a professional. And that really lit a fire underneath me to get back into it, get back into action, get back underneath coaching, get back underneath somebody watching my videos and giving me feedback, get back into rereading books that I read many years ago just to make sure I'm checking the boxes. And so if it happened in something like that, and it's something I'm paid to do, okay, my everyday
Big
job.
time, yeah.
It's, oh man, if it could happen there, what other areas of my life am I letting that happen? And so I began to go back and look at all these different places, and man, it's so easy to just fall into that average and those secret places of satisfactory success where we say, hey, that's good enough. I think I'm good at this.
So you said a phrase through there that triggered something for me. You said sharpen the axe. We're called Leader's Edge. I named this company Leader's Edge for that very reason. Lincoln said, if you give me 6 hours to cut down a tree, I'll take 4 hours to sharpen the axe. Probably coming from that Hebrew proverb, if the axe is dull, more effort's required, but wisdom brings success. How are you? What does it look like behind the scenes, off the stage, away from the limelight? What is it, Chris, what does it look like for you to sharpen the axe? What does that actually look like?
Yeah, it really boils down to what I call layered learning. And so now what will happen is in any area of life that I want to grow, okay, sure, I was aware of this specific scenario, so I had to go back and implement this practice there. But whatever area that I want to grow, I really look at the 7-step framework that I talk about in the book. But if I had to boil it down to one of the steps, which is gathering, when I look at sharpening my axe, I gather resources, I gather books, videos, audios, courses, and conferences. And I line all of those things up on one single topic. Because the mistake that a lot of people make is they read books on one topic, watch videos on another topic, listen to audio on another topic, are getting coached on a different topic, then go to a conference for a completely different conference. Topic. And then we're wondering, why am I overwhelmed? Why am I feel like I'm not making progress? But when you line all of those things up, the speed of which you sharpen, the speed of which you gain confidence, the speed of which you get results in that area expound exponentially. I even did this with pickleball. I did this with pickleball. I fell in love with pickleball the very first time I played it. Two days later, I've got books at the house from Amazon. I'm watching videos on YouTube. I've got a coach. 2 days after I played for the first time, I'm in a clinic getting coaching. This applies to every area of life, but behind the scenes, that's what it looks like. I follow that cycle time and time again.
That's gold, man. Yeah. So I often share this, and I like to hear from you. I say this thing, success leaves clues.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a highly successful man, speaker, writer, leader. If I were to trace the trail of breadcrumbs back to your childhood, what are the clues that I would find in your childhood, in your development, in your teenage years ago? Yeah, this guy's on to something.
Yeah, if I had to boil it down to one thing, it would be consistency.
Okay.
It was either consistently bad choices or consistently good choices. Okay. I don't want to paint any rosy picture like, I've just had this since childhood.
Yeah.
Look, I, just like you had spoke about, by the age of 21, I'd had two DUIs, and I was headed in one of two directions.
Wow.
I was either going to be dead or in jail. And I came to this defining moment because, again, I was consistent. I was consistently making bad choices, and I was okay with that because, hey, this was the expectation I had in my mind of, hey, look, I'm either going to be dead or in jail. But it was when I got in front of a judge, and he uttered those exact same words to me. He said, Chris, he goes, the path that you're on, you're either going to be dead or in jail. He says, now, Chris, you're not a stupid kid. He goes, you've passed your Series 7 license to be a stockbroker. And what I want to do is I want to give you everything I possibly can except for jail time. And he gave me everything that he could, from SATOP to AA to community service to paying fines to having a blow tube on my car. Gave me all these things. But what that did was that gave me, one, an opportunity, but two, it created another consistency in my life. And I can tell you that it has been, 24 years since I've had a single drop of alcohol. And again, it's not that I'm great at anything. It's that I'm consistent in whatever I decide to do. And if I have to look back and say, hey, how did I get results? How did I get results? It's consistency for the good or for the bad.
Wow.
I'm consistent.
That's an amazing story. Now I have to ask, I'm curious, how did you change your mindset from this path you were on to this success path? What in you clicked where you said, I know, did you just make a decision? Like, I'm no longer, you're standing in front of that judge and you just flip a switch, or what happened?
No. Yeah, I'd love to tell you it was that moment in front of the judge that the switch flipped, but it didn't. 6 months later, I am out with my soon-to-be wife at the time, girlfriend at the time, and we are just out drinking, thinking we're having a good time again. And in that moment, she asked me a question. She said, hey, I was drunk. I was in a stupor. She asked me a question. She said, this is probably one of the most important questions I've ever been asked in my life. She said, could you imagine what life would look like without alcohol in it? Now, in that moment, drunk as I was, I had this, the most clarity that I had ever had in any single moment of life, where I honestly saw a vision of life without it. Now, an hour later, she's driving. We get stopped by the police. I'm sitting on the curb with handcuffs behind my back. And I'm going, this is it. I'm going to jail this time because I'm violating all types of probation. I know this is over with. But there was a call over the air. A friend of her sister's, her was a police officer, heard her name being called, said, hey, let them go, let them drive home. And it was in that moment that I said, whoa, something's got to change.
Oh,
so we made this choice to go down a faith walk for us.
Yeah.
And we had got highly involved in a church and had just surrendered. I don't know how faith-based this particular podcast is, but gave our lives to Christ and said, hey, we're going to go in a different direction. So I'm a textbook Christianity 180 conversion of, I was living this way, but now I'm choosing to live this way.
Wow.
And decide to never go back to the other.
I came from a broken, alcoholic, dysfunctional, abusive home. My dad died when I was really young. All kinds of men in and out of my life. And I also made choices to have a different future. I didn't want to carry that cycle forward. Also faith-based. And I've been asked many times, H, how did you change your mindset? And I came to this, and I'd love to get your feedback on this. Until you fall in love with a different version of yourself, you're always going to stay stuck in the mediocrity you're living in. Until you fall in love with a different version of yourself out there, life for you, life without alcohol. For me, breaking from this poverty mindset, this victim mindset. Until you fall in love with a different version of yourself, you're always going to stay stuck. Agree? Disagree?
100%. We 100% always move in the direction of our dominant thoughts. My dominant thought up until that point was I was going to be dead or in jail. And let me tell you, I was trying every single day to move in that direction. I remember saying the craziest things. I remember it would, some days I would just say, go, oh my goodness, I need to do something bad for my health today. Those were the words that were coming out of my mouth.
What?
Those were the words that were like, that's how far I was moving in the direction of my dominant thought. My dominant thought was I was going to be dead or in jail, not that I was going to live life prosperously, not that I was going to help make an impact or a difference, not that I was going to, those weren't the words. It was about me. It was about just enough to get by. It was just about living, enjoying the single moment. And I had no vision beyond the horizon of where I was.
Wow. What have you learned? How'd you get connected to John Maxwell, and what have you learned from him that's radically changed your life?
Think about the radical change here. Just
Dude, right?
9 minutes, just 9 minutes ago, we're talking about me walking into the president of Cambodia's home office. We go 9 minutes later, we're talking about sitting on a curb with
Handcuffs.
handcuffs. What's the radical change?
That's a bit of a shift.
That's a bit of a shift, right? But what happened with John Maxwell, I was introduced to him through the church that I was attending. At that church that I was attending, the pastor was really heavy into personal growth and development, and I was brand new working a job at a call center, and I wanted to get promoted on the job. And so I wanted to do something to stand out from the other people inside the organization because all things being equal, I was selling the top three each month. I was showing up on time, staying late. There was really no difference maker. And so I needed to do something different. So I took a leadership course, the 21 Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell on VHS. So the VHS tube TV combo. And it was state of the art. It was
So
state
good.
of the art. And so I'm down in the basement of this church watching John Maxwell videos, going back. And then taking notes and then applying these principles in the workplace. And I started getting promoted on the job. And I fell in love with personal growth and development. I fell in love with leadership. And really, just like yourself, fell in love with developing people. Oh my goodness, it was so exciting to see people get promoted on the job. It was so exciting to see people getting the cars that they wanted, the houses that they wanted, getting out of debt. All those things just lit my fire. Still to this day, it lights my fire to see that. And I continue to go down that path.
Let's shift gears. Let's talk about your book that's coming out, From Drift to Drive. Tell me about the premise. What have you learned from it as a writer, and what kind of impact do you hope that it has?
The premise is that it's a high achiever's guide to break the chains of complacency. As we talked about earlier, complacency exists in all of our lives. And really, what I want this to be is a guide to help someone recognize where they're drifting in their life and then to how to break that and keep going. Because there's a lot of people listening that are very successful. And I think that sometimes, as a successful person, there's this shield or Teflon that comes on that, oh, I got it, I'm good. But here's what I know. We all have some type of complacency. And when we have that success, we have also this great shield of comfort that it doesn't really require us to do what we did before. And but what's slowly happening is that we begin to drift. And if it starts in one area, it bleeds over to another. So I really want this to be a guide to help people go continue to keep that fire. What I learned through the process, H, is that, man, it is difficult. The book writing process is difficult. The audio book was even more difficult. Doing that whole process of reading itself. But then, of course, the most difficult part of all, which I think there's this just fallacy or myth of thought that, hey, if I write the book now, all of a sudden people are going to buy it. All right, look. And so, just the whole process of really, just really jumping in and going, hey, look, I want you to have this book, not to sell something to you, but to get something to you and for you. And so the whole entire process has been a great exercise for me. It's got me out of a place of comfort. It's got me out of a place of complacency and truly just got me fired up about really helping people.
Nice. What do you think, Chris? What do you think most high achievers misunderstand about success?
Ooh. That it's a destination and that it can be achieved through stuff. And stuff is great. Don't get me wrong. I love stuff just like the next person. I love exotic cars. I love watches. I love all the stuff. But here's what I found. And John Maxwell said this the very first time I was in a president's office back in 2013. We were with the president of Guatemala at the small group of people. And we were going in to implement what we call round tables, where we do value-based trainings inside the countries in order to help change the country through values. But John said this, he says, success is great, but once you taste significance, success will never taste the same. And that has always sat with my soul from that moment, is that success is about what I can do and what I can have. Significance is about what we can do with and through others. And that's what fires me up every single day. The stuff, like I said, I love the stuff just like the next person. That's success stuff, but the significant stuff, that's what really gets me going.
Now you've made it clear that your mission, like you have a big mission. I can't wait to hear about this. Your mission is to awaken a million high achievers who are currently drifting. What does a fully engaged, purpose-driven leader look like then? When I come awake, how am I different?
When you come awake, it's let's go. This morning when I woke up, H, I mean, I jumped up out of bed. Why? Because I had, what, five podcasts to do today, did five plus teaching yesterday, got five plus tomorrow the next day. And I know that at the end of each and every single one of these, there's going to be a new person that hears my voice. There's going to be a new person that might just move a little bit differently. And so when you can get into a place where you're getting out of bed with fire, when you're getting out of bed with a purpose and a passion, that's when you'll know, okay, something shifted. I'm getting out of drift and I'm starting to drive.
Okay. I'm curious how, when leaders hear this on my podcast or the other podcast you're going to be on, are you getting any kind of emotional resistance to, I'm good, I'm successful, I'm working 60 hours a week, I got the house, I got the vacations. Chris, I'm good, bro. I'm not drifting, I'm in
No,
overdrive.
I'm getting the opposite of that.
Okay.
I'm getting the opposite of that. I'm getting highly successful people going, you know what, Chris? That's me. I've got all the stuff, but I really don't have the drive anymore. And I need this right now. And that was really surprising to me that people are more self-identifying with complacency versus putting up a wall of I'm successful, I'm good. And so what that tells me is that leaders are learners, right? And but they drift just like everyone else.
So let's say you're talking to the leader. Like I've started several businesses. I work with business owners around the country. Starting and running a business is hard. So you're climbing that mountain. You're an entrepreneur. You're starting out. I mean, it is hard freaking work. You get to that plateau of success. You're like, finally, I don't have to work so hard. And then Chris Robinson comes into my life and says, okay, we got more mountain to climb. And I'm like, really, bro? I thought I was done climbing. What's actually required of me energy-wise to re-engage for the climb?
Yeah, to re-engage for the climb, I talk about in the book is what we call the complacency hydra. So in the Greek mythology, they have a monster that's called the hydra, sometimes three heads, six heads. But one of those heads of the complacency hydra is the head of again. And one of the questions that John Maxwell, one of the questions that John Maxwell has us ask as a leadership team every single year is simply, am I willing to pay the price again?
Okay.
Am I
I'm
willing
writing
to
this
pay the
down.
price? Am I willing to pay the price again? Now that's a question because again, if you're not willing to pay the price, it's just going to go into a slow decline. And so if you're not willing to pay the price, it's okay. Go and do something else that's gonna that you want to pay the price for. But every single year, that's one of the questions we have to answer is, hey, did you enjoy this year? Did you not enjoy this year? But at the end of all the questions, are you willing to pay the price again this year? And if you can't answer yes to that, then you need to go do something else.
What are the implications that I don't? Let's just say
Yeah.
I. What are the implications? I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you feel the energy difference in your heart right now. Feel the lack of fulfillment that you just felt when you just said, when you just threw your arms up. And so at the end of the day, it's you versus you. And if you don't want to pay that price and you're okay, great. That's fine. But what I do want to tell you is that you need to go and find the thing that is truly going to fill that hole in your heart. Because you started this thing, whatever business that you're in, because you were trying to achieve something, do something, and it may have fired you up at some point in time. If it doesn't today, you may have to ask yourself the question, is this what I want any longer? And if it's not, it's okay. And then break out a clean sheet of paper and simply ask yourself the question, what do I want? What do I want? And when you begin to get clear on that, then I'm telling you, your drive shifts when you get crystal clear on what it is that you want.
Do you feel like most of the leaders you work with, they don't answer that with a dollar amount? They answer that with some sort of impact or legacy?
It's a wide range of
Wide
things.
range.
And again, it doesn't have to be about dollar amount at all. Let me be in full transparency here. I haven't set a dollar amount goal in years. And don't get me wrong, plenty of dollars come in.
You like stuff? You said you like stuff?
Plenty of dollars come in. But that's not my goal. My goal is the impact. And what happens is when I started chasing purpose, profit started chasing me. When there's a shift in that, it started chasing me. I haven't chased a dollar in years and years. I
Something
can't
is up
remember
there.
the last time I set a financial number. But here's what I can tell you, I haven't missed a meal. And
I'm
so
gonna write that
you're
down. That's
shifting
so good.
gears.
When I started chasing purpose, profit started chasing
It
me.
should be indeed.
I like that. So I'm turning 60 this year, and I've set out 60. This is my, I've set out more goals this year. I am still curious and passionate, including becoming a Maxwell certified coach. I'm shooting at big things this year. I am curious. I'm passionate. I love, like you, it sounds like I love hanging around lifelong learners. They're still reading, they're learning, they're hungry. Curiosity drives me. My passion for my grandkids drives me. Let's finish with this, my friend. If you could give every leader that's listening one challenge today that would push them from drift to drive, what challenge would you give us?
I would go back to the last statement that we were in, the last segment that we were in, is if you want to go from drift to drive, get crystal clear on what it is that you want.
I love
Shape
that.
your idea of success, shape your idea of significance, not what social media tells us, not what your neighbor tells you, but at the end of the day, what is it that you truly want? Because every single time that you've been crystal clear on what it is that you wanted, you've got it every single time. And I know that there's more dreams left inside of you. I know that there's more people for you to impact left inside of you, and your best days are ahead.
Chris, I love it, brother. I wish you the best of luck with the book, with all the growth you have at Maxwell's company. Thank you for taking time with me and sharing your wisdom and insights with my listeners. I appreciate you, man. I can't wait to meet you at next year's conference that I get to attend as well.
Indeed. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on today.
You bet, man. That's it for today's show. Thank you for joining us on The Leader's Edge. I hope today's conversation inspired you to lead with even greater purpose and greater passion. My big three takeaways from my conversation with Chris are these. Number one, I love it when he said the Japanese word sensu means victory, disease. I think we can all relate to and catch this disease if we aren't careful. It's not hard to climb the mountain of success and then hit the snooze button of growth when we reach a certain level. So be care of victory disease. Number two, say yes to again. He talked about the complacency hydra, that mythological Greek creature that always grows back another head that you slay. And in his form, the complacency hydra is always going to try to drain you of energy and passion. Say yes to again. Yes again by having a purpose greater than your current situation. Leave that plateau and begin climbing that mountain again. Speaking of purpose, that leads me to number three. I love it when he said, chase purpose and profits will chase you. That sounds like great wisdom and our mic drop moment of this episode. Don't chase profits. That gets exhausting and unfulfilling. Chase purpose and the financial success will follow. Listen, if you enjoy this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us reach more leaders just like you. And that's the entire purpose of this podcast, to sharpen leaders around the world, because leaders change the world. Stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, leadership insights, and updates on future episodes. Don't forget to check us out at yourleadersedge.com and follow us at Leaders Edge Podcast on all major platforms. So until next time, keep pushing the boundaries. Keep leading at the edge. I'm HR Huntsman. We'll see you soon.